Yes, here, Wayne.
Linda Johnston.
Jim Fleming.
Russ Smith.
Jane Benner.
Okay, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everybody read the minutes?
Yep.
All been with them? No corrections?
Nope.
All good?
Everything was good.
Okay, entertain a motion?
Motion.
To approve?
Second.
All favor?
Aye.
All right, that's done. Public Works overview presentation.
All right. I'm gonna sit over here so you guys can see the screen better, not through my head, and I can see you better. We did this presentation last week for the city council and had a pretty good review afterwards, and they said, let's do this next week for Public Works Committee. And yeah, it makes sense. You guys are the Public Works Committee. This is Public Works. It's an overview of what we do, what we've done in the past, what we're currently doing, and what we're looking to do in the future. So just want to set that precedence. And this, we're going to see some of the problems we encountered in the past when I first started here back in May. Some of the stuff we had to work through and what we're currently doing and what we're currently doing to prevent those kind of things from happening again. Please feel free to ask questions throughout this presentation. One of the first things when I first started here was I knew what I was getting into. I'd worked here before, went to Bend, came back. Obviously saw some things I'd like to change and use some things I learned in Bend. And one of the things first we wanted to change was the atmosphere around here, how we approach our work and what we do daily. And one of the things I noticed from working here in the past was I wanted to be more of a team involvement, not just one person making decisions all the time about what we do and keeping everybody in the loop about why we're doing things the way we're doing them, and there's a reason to that, you know, and taking pride in our work, just keeping everybody involved. We sat down on day one and did that. These two guys in the room, we all sat down together and decided that, you know, we have a pretty good opportunity to make this system a great system, not just a mediocre system. We're a new city and we'd like to set a precedence going forward how we want it to look going into the future. And it's kind of, there's Johnny and Mike right there, and sometimes, you know, we feel like firemen because we're putting out fires all the time, you know. Putting out stuff that pops up, which is never going to go away, but we kind of want to minimize those fires from starting all the time. We kind of want to be a fireman crew that's on the preventative side of things, right? So let's look at some of those fires that we had in 2016. Day one, walked up to our wastewater lagoons and noticed that they were at full capacity and they were ready to breach the dikes. And that was a result of no irrigation the year before, or I think irrigation lasted for about a week the year previous. And typically they usually last for about 3 or 4 months. And we typically put about 22 million gallons to 30 million gallons a summer out in the hayfield. And maybe there was 100,000 gallons the year before. So we had to deal with that, obviously. We didn't want the lagoons to breach their dikes. That's not a good deal. First thing you do is, let's get the pumps going again. Let's get the water going out in the hayfield. Well, the pumps weren't working either. They were all airlocked. And a lot of times it takes quite the effort to get the air to clear out of those. So we got a good run through the first couple days trying to figure things out and get things running again. So we got the pumps working, and now the chlorine's not working, which we use chlorine gas up there to treat the wastewater onto the hayfield. It's part of our DEQ requirement. Chlorine wasn't working, so we had to get the chlorine running again. One of the things we noticed, and we had a contractor come in to help us install some new equipment for the chlorine room, that we didn't have a leak detector in that chlorine room. No gas leak detector. And he's like, you guys should probably do that. And it's like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Let's put that in, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, I bought full respirators for the guys going in there too. And it's always a two-man crew. One guy stays out and makes sure the other guy's okay going in there. And I personally took a hit this last year. I took a chlorine gas hit going in there. And I was like, okay, we got to change some stuff around here. Luckily, I was fine, but you don't flirt with that too often and come out okay. So we got that going up there too now. Full respirators and a leak detector. Our aeration basin wasn't operational too that first week on our lagoons. And aeration is a key component when you're using lagoons to treat wastewater. You need aeration. Aerobic respiration. All those microorganisms are depending on oxygen. They're oxygen loving. They're not anaerobic, they're aerobic. There's both, but primarily we use aerobic. So we had to get that aerator going again, and we got it running again too. One of the other problems we faced was our freshwater well at our wastewater plant was not operational. So the screening process for like the septage receiving station uses water to help clear the screens. The guys had to remedy a way to do that without using fresh water. They had to put a pump into well or lagoon number 2 and reuse water out of the lagoon to try to clear that screen. So they had above ground piping to do that because the last operator, it fell on deaf ears every time they bring something up to fix. So they had to figure out ways to make things work. In the restrooms, all that stuff, no fresh water. So they had to use a 5-gallon bucket of water from the lagoon to fill the toilets. They just used the restrooms. So we got the well working too that first couple weeks. So if we can do what we're doing properly up there. Even some of our sampling, you have to wash equipment to reuse them for sampling stuff. It's just little simple stuff. Obviously, you know, grease septage dumping was a problem too. June 1st, we decided no more grease traps coming into our plant just because they were having such an effect on our lagoons that we decided as a group, no more grease. And then new septage receiving station, that's been a priority, and it's an increasing priority. Everybody knows that. I don't need to explain that to you, but we've been working on that, designing and how that's going to work and how we're going to get the funds for it. We increased the septage rates, 6% local. You guys were a big part of that suggestion, 9% outside. It's been going really good. We're still getting outside users using the plant. They're just not using it as much, which is what we were looking for. We had a new lift station go up at Wikia, new sewer lift station project. That took a lot of our time too. Constant inspections, and then we had to tie in the new system and get the old system out, and that takes a lot of work when you kick one off and kick one in. You know, you gotta help with cutting the old pipe and getting it diverted. And we have a lot of other lift stations out there too that have had issues this last year too. Several of the lift stations, ideally you have 2 pumps in a lift station. You have a lead and a lag, and you always have one as a backup in case one of those fails. Well, there was a couple out there that only had 1 pump in them. So we've addressed that issue too. Booster stations online again. That was something that when I worked here in the past and came back, never was online. So we got that going again. That was a lot of troubleshooting efforts and a lot of time trying to get that going. We do a lot of well site monitoring and inspections now. We had a crew of divers up there. I've talked about that before, and we're actually up there daily monitoring and writing numbers down. In the past, maybe that was done once a month, but your well site's pretty integral part of your system. That's the main source, and we feel it's something we want to see every day. Fire hydrant maintenance, that's something that we do during the spring and the summer, and you're going to see a lot of stuff driving that program going into the future too. Meter readings constant. Meter installations with all these new houses starting to get built again. We do our own service line tapping, so if they need a service for a construction project, we tap the main form. If it's up to a 1-inch line, anything bigger than that, we make them sub out a contractor to do it the right way. SDCs, you've heard a lot about SDC talk, the rates going up for SDCs. We put a lot of legwork into that. We'll talk about that a little bit later tonight or today. Wastewater Water Expansion Improvement Project. There's been a lot of legwork for that too. We'll talk about that a little later as well. We've done a lot of coordination with Deschutes County and ODOT. Then this past year, we made some really good relationships, developed Central Oregon Public Works partnership. Those partnerships are pretty integral for a small town to thrive. We don't have a streets crew. And we don't have a lot of equipment that they have that we can use. In fact, a couple months ago, the Deschutes County Road Department guy down here brought me a key over. He goes, Jake, if you ever need it into our yard to grab something, here's a key. I was like, really? Are you sure? He's like, no, I trust you. You can go in there anytime and get what you need. So that's pretty nice to have that down here. They're a pretty good partner. Mm-hmm. We've done streetscape projects, First Street and Highway 97. And we're looking to see a couple more of those go in this year as well. The bids are open right now for First Street, right there by the new medical, or the existing medical center they're adding on to. That's open for bid right now. And we partnered that up with the swale on 97 as well. They're going to do both those at the same time. Wow. That way we can get both done, both work done at a better price. We don't have to bid them out twice. We do a lot of storm drains and flooding assistance. We made sandbags available, partnered up with Deschutes County. We bought the bags, they bought the sand, made a fill site in town here so people could use it. We go around and clean a lot of storm drains. We even do private too. We even set up a rate that we can go in and help with private, just because we know there's not many contractors that do that type of work in La Pine. They have to come from Bend, and they impose a pretty good price for that when they come out of Bend. So we made that option open, saying we'll do this until there's a contractor in La Pine that does it. Then we're no longer that interested in it. So we do quite a bit of that too. Did Napa last week, done the eye clinic, several different businesses that's called and asked. We don't advertise it, but you know, it's something we'll help people out with. Cemetery cleanup. We have the cemetery too now, so we go up there and done some tree clearing. We help with burials up there, with digging, all that kind of stuff. You're gonna see, as we move into the future, we're gonna do a lot more up there. We're gonna start taking over some of those roles up there. Code enforcement, something we try to integrate every week. And kind of our two things we focus on is RV. People live in RVs on places with existing structures, and trash cleanup, which this time of year it's a little harder to see those kind of things, but as we move into the spring, we'll start gearing up more on code enforcement. Yeah, so you just got to see what a day in the life of a public works staff looks like, right? You see it, there's a tap right there going on. There's wastewater in the middle when we had to retie into the new lift station, and there's our main well site. And you know, we set some goals this year, and we delegated a lot of different tasks for the three-man crew that we have. And our approach going into the future is being more proactive instead of reactive. Instead of putting out fires all the time, we want to try to prevent some of those fires from starting. And I gave you guys a daily schedule for what it looks like for a week for a public works stuff. That's this week. That's what we got on the docket for this week. And it's constantly changing, but you shoot for it, right? And hopefully you get most of these tasks done. And this is something that's never really been done in the past year. It's just trying to get some good foundations built going into the future. Yeah, I just talked about future programs and some bright ideas that we have. And I'll show you a few of them, what we've seen this last year, that we'd like to do in the future. Some of the big items that will help this system be sustainable and flourish is telemetry, communication with our vital assets in the field, wastewater treatment plant, well site, lift stations. Those are our big assets in the field. Currently, we do daily rounds, and this isn't the ideal way to obtain information or data to optimize functionality of our systems. All we're getting is an hourly read, and if things are functioning the way they are. For example, like a wastewater lift station, if we had it on telemetry, we could notice when there's a high level alarm going off there at the lift station. We'd get a trigger signal to our telemetry saying there's a high level alarm at Wickiup lift station. Okay, let's go check on it. Right now, only way we know is if we stop by there that day and notice it, or we get a phone call from a customer further up the line because it's backing up. Same with our well site. Only way we know when it's running is when we go check there and write down the daily reading. We don't know when peak flows are during the day. We don't know a lot of that stuff that's pretty crucial to a wastewater, to a water system. Just a lot of stuff like that. Maintenance programs. We do septic tanks, something we've done in the past, currently do, and look to do in the future. Hydrant maintenance, valve turning, lagoon maintenance. These are some programs we're going to create this year and really push to get done. Preventative maintenance stuff that really helps our assets thrive. And there's been some ideas from some other public works managers in the area that look at some of these programs, see what you can do, and see if there's any of them you can open up for maybe some contractor to help out with. And one of them was suggested septic tanks, helping out with some contract work with that. There's several contractors around here that specialize in pumping septic tanks. Mm-hmm. I was kind of against it at first because I don't like taking the work away from myself, but if it's cost effective and it works, it might be an option we look at. Maybe we take one subdivision every year, open it up for contract, that's way it's ensured it's getting done right. Because we know daily work for us can change really quickly. If I set a schedule for a week where we got to pump this many tanks, we may get half of those done. And now we got to do twice as many as the next week. And you just keep getting behind and behind. It's hard with a three-man crew. Those are just some ideas we're throwing out there. And septic receiving station and some lift station upgrades. Obviously, we want to do septic receiving station. That's started this year. And we'd like to develop some lift station upgrades where we have like a hired electrician we can look to go maintain some of those lift stations. Instead of fixing them when a problem occurs, they can do some control panel upgrades. Maybe have a couple pumps for backup instead of ordering them when one fails. We have a couple on hand that we can replace with. Just stuff like that. Just simple stuff that really makes our life easier and our system work like it should be. Do you guys have any questions about any of this presentation?
How many septic tanks are we dealing with in the city?
Over 500.
Pardon?
Over 500.
500.
And there's, if we take in Cagle and Glenwood, there probably be another third of that. Probably another 250, I'm guessing, or half, I guess.
Yeah, about 200 out there.
Yeah.
250.
Yep.
So how often do they have a pump? They're all 1,000-gallon tanks, I think so.
They're all at least 1,000-gallon tanks and go up if they're a jointly used tank or a commercial tank. Residential's on a 3 to 5 year cycle. Commercials can go down to a 1 year cycle. Some of them are on monthly cycle. Just depends on how high of a use they have.
We actually have them out here that are doing them monthly.
McDonald's and Gordy's Truck Stop.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Any place that has a high volume.
Yep. And like Biomart's got a pretty good sized tank. We do them quarterly. And some of the other restaurants get thrown in that too.
Yeah.
Usually the businesses, commercials, we're going to try to do at least yearly.
Yeah.
And we were thinking opening up some of that to a contractor to help come in and help and offset some of our workload for us.
Yeah, you got to hire more people in them.
Right.
Another truck.
Yep. And I've sat down with a few of the contractors and had them throw a price at me what they would think they would charge just to see if it'll even work.
Right. Good.
Because if they tell me $300 a tank, and it's like, that's not going to work.
No.
If they tell me $150, okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Good. Then you got to compare it to if you hire somebody in another truck and
right.
offset of that.
If they're pumping,
a lot of math.
If they're pumping our tanks inside our city, I'm not going to charge them to dump up my plant. So they're
right.
going to save some money on that end, too.
Right. You got to do a lot of comparisons.
Right. We just want to make sure our tanks are getting pumped when they need to be getting pumped.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, we're going to get called out after hours to go look at it. That's most of our call outs are for septic related stuff.
I think one thing you also have to look at though, it's even if you're breaking even with contractors right now, you've got to realize in the future,
mm-hmm.
we aren't going to be building at a rate of a 16 a year. That's going to be much higher.
Right.
So, you know, the whole city is expanding.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something to take into consideration. This might be a good time to hire somebody.
We talk
when you're more at a slack time, so you have enough time to actually get somebody trained and up and running.
Right. And I really like pilot programs. I just did a lot of pilot programs in Bend. If I had an idea, I wanted to try something, I say, hey, can I try a pilot program? Let me do this summer and see how it works. And then you work out the bugs and you look at it and go, hey, this didn't work or this really worked well. Let's do it for the next 3 years now. I'd like to try to do it this summer, pick a subdivision, pick some commercial tanks, and see how the program goes. And then we relook at it next year and say, hey, this is what we like, this is what we didn't. Let's move forward with it and see how it goes. That's how I like to do programs like that when we've never done them before. Little pilot program, see how it works. Maybe do Crescent Creek subdivision, because we know there's quite a few tanks that haven't been done yet in Crescent Creek, so maybe we try that subdivision, see how it goes.
Do they have one collector's tank there?
Crescent Creek?
Yeah.
Crescent Creek, most of those places either have their own tank or they share one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd say most of them share a tank. And there's quite a few in there that have their own tank.
The telemetry, when are you going to get that? You got to go out to bid for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. There's no sense, you know.
We had an outfit in here last week. We walked through the whole system. Tomorrow we're doing it with another contractor.
No, good. Good.
Something I wanted to really look at first, but as you can see, we had a lot of stuff we had to try to work our way through and keep pushing stuff back, right?
Was some of that a carryover from when it was a district?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of that, if we can get the bids in now, mm-hmm. we'll still get them in next year's budget.
Right.
Yep. Sure that we have the money for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why we're looking at it right now.
So far, are they really receptive to it? They're like encouraging you to pursue using them?
The contractors? Yeah, they're open to it. They'd like to have a guy that can just focus on that kind of work.
The storm drains, did you tell the businesses in town that you can help them with the storm drains?
We've told a few.
Yeah, because they had a lake out there.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and there's a drain here, so evidently somebody unplugged it and it drained out.
Yeah.
That happens.
Just about every year.
Yeah.
And Gordy's is even worse.
I'll be honest, most of it's been word of mouth. We've been getting phone calls. Yeah. I just don't want to be a stormwater crew all the time. But
I
want to help the businesses out. But I don't want to advertise, hey, we pump storm drains, you know. Because they will call a few of the other vendors, too.
Yeah.
They can help them out.
Yeah. Yeah, just to get that.
We've done Ace. We've done the car wash. We've done Eye Clinic. And we did Napa.
The ShopSmart's got some pump system in their drain. It's down.
Oh, it's down?
Well, I'm assuming it's down whenever they flood out over there.
Oh, yeah. And then I went in to get something and I told them I liked their lake out there. And they said, yeah, the guy's supposed to come out and look at the drain. So,
yeah, there's some.
And then I come back the next week and it was almost all dry. So
I'm guessing there's kind of some kind of sump pump in there that'll take it out and away.
Yeah.
It hasn't been working.
Yeah.
So all you're doing there is off just getting rid of water, basically.
Yeah, the only place in town that I know that floods is around the post office.
Right.
Over by Ray's, it's still flooding over there.
Yeah, Ray's in 97.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On 3rd Street.
On 3rd? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they got the other part of 3rd done.
One part's done.
Yeah. They just need to connect them.
So. Right. They stubbed out for it. They just didn't run it all the way up, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I've been talking with the county about that, too.
I want to say how, what I had no idea that was all of your crew that was doing Huntington and 3rd when it was a swamp and a mess. I had no idea that was our own crew. I thought, wow, these are the big guys.
It was our crew and the county. We,
yeah.
We got a big front end loader
job.
In. And they came in and.
And the backhoe and all that, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. First Street, all that was just a plug drain.
Right.
Yeah, I went and looked. I looked at it, I went to all four corners, I said, wait a minute, three are dry and one's flooded?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make sense.
Can't get to it. Ice over.
Yeah, they found a tree growing in the pipe.
Yeah.
Cleared it out, we haven't had a problem since. Oh, the other, I was going to ask you one more question. When the Cagle subdivision gets in, is that pipe from the lift station at Wickia to the lagoon going to be okay? Or are you going to have to add more?
They should be
sufficient. That pipe's undersized.
The pipe coming into that lift station is definitely adequate for that tie-in.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and
okay.
Fortunately, it's just a pressure line going out to the wastewater treatment plant, so you can downsize quite a bit on pressure sewer.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, some point in the future, we'll probably have to look at upsizing some of those pressure lines too.
I think one thing you have to look at is not just Hagel, but if that Gordy's thing ever happens out there, that's when you're going to have to reevaluate that one too. Because we're going to be shipping a lot of septic if there's a 42 room
motel or something.
Hotel.
Oh yeah.
Plus everything else that they're talking about, which hasn't happened yet. We don't even have plans for them. So
that's when, you know, wastewater expansion improvement project really comes into play.
Right.
Because that north end of town's kind of at a stalemate for development because they don't have the water demand, the quantity they need up there, and the sewer needs some improvements to make that function.
And you still got the well to drill up there.
Right.
Get that tied in.
Mm-hmm. Then that'll be a game changer for the north end of town.
Have we heard anything about the drilling for the well? Do we have any projections on
that? No. I'll talk about that stuff here in a little bit.
We talked a little bit ago about the cost of the contractor versus hiring another person and trying. They tried to, when I worked at the city, they tried to do it with us, and I was in vehicle maintenance, and they were charging 2.5 times more than what we were doing.
Right.
It cost 2.5 times more if they didn't. So they never could outbid us. So they just, goodbye. It was nice talking to you.
Right.
And the city I worked for was real cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, if it wasn't needed, it didn't get done.
Right.
What's this 42 unit
hotel?
No, the one that's supposed to go south down here that was in the paper.
Housing Works?
Yeah.
That's there by the senior center.
What kind of impact is that going to have on our system?
They're doing some improvements too for us as they build that out. And they're going to improve some water lines right through there, and they're going to be fine where they're at for water and sewer.
That's behind the senior center and by Martin, that area.
Little Deschutes Lodge and senior center kind of right there. Memorial.
It's right behind Deschutes Lodge.
Victory.
The two Deschutes Lodges.
Yeah.
Between Memorial and Victory, back behind to the east of those.
They're going to bother our water impact, or is it impacting our water supply?
It definitely impacts it, but we don't hit any threshold where we're in any trouble.
Mm-hmm. The second well will help offset that.
Absolutely. And that well helps with our 20 to 30 year growth and master plan too.
Right, right.
Which all comes into consideration when developments like that come into play. It kind of pushes that timeline a little bit quicker, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. And then you got the sewer, you got to expand to the other side of railroad tracks and that land that's over there. Because that was designated to you guys.
Yep.
You got your work cut out for you. Get the paper and pencil out, start figuring it out.
You're going to get lots of energy, right?
Next 5 years are going to be a really busy time.
Right, that's why we're trying to get some good foundations built right now so we can work off of it. Because you try to do it later, it makes it tougher because you just get so busy.
That's what I mean about, you know, although you may break even on contractors right now, it may be a good time to start looking at hiring.
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe we come back to it later and say, hey, you know, we got some more staff now. Let's reevaluate and see if we can start doing some of this on our own again.
And you start getting spread out, and that's not good.
Mm-mm.
That's not good at all. Then work doesn't get done.
Right. And we've seen the aftermath of some of that in the past. And
right.
You can see the aftermath of the guy sounds good for a contractor, and all of a sudden you find out, well, he had somebody call in sick, so they didn't get around to it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I want to see a pilot program of it first, see how it looks.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
Any other questions? Yeah. My pleasure.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay, RFP, mosquito?
Mosquito.
Mosquitoes.
That's one of our.
We get a few around here.
It's open. We've had three members.
I've been bit by a mosquito all year.
This one to show you guys it's open. Council made a decision to open it up for bid instead of giving it back to the last contractor. I anticipate we're not going to get a lot of bids for it, maybe two, because there's not many people that do that type of work out here. So it's either going to be the same company that does it again or another company that we've had in the past. So I just wanted to make it known that that's open. It closes tomorrow, but open for 2 weeks. And we do have another RFP that just opened to the streetscape project, which I talked about for First Street and the 97 Swale. It's open right now too. And that'll get a lot more publicity.
Is that going to include everybody under the protection of the dome?
All the streets.
You're going to have mosquito chasing on all the streets?
Yep, the whole town.
The whole town?
Yep.
Okay. Except for that area.
Yeah, except for that.
Except for road. Off of Huntington before you get to Burgess.
And Evergreen. And,
right there.
That's where they will eventually have it. Right.
Good. I told you who you had to talk to on that.
I'm talking to him.
No, you're not. You got to talk to the county. That's
he's
a county road.
The boss of the county before too long.
That's a county road.
Any questions on that RFP? It's pretty basic. Just wanted to let you know how it looks.
No, yeah.
Well, we really
I would have put the streetscape in there, but it just opened, so.
Okay. I vote we ought to bump you guys up to minimum wage.
Perfect.
I don't know.
Oh, that's so generous of you, Wayne.
But help like that, you guys soar right to the top of that.
Budget update.
Yes. Obviously, we're halfway through the year, over halfway through, and I got to see the budget for the first time when I started here and got to reevaluate. And only one of our little trouble areas is snow removal. Obviously, we went over budget for snow removal, as we all anticipated, but the contingency was built in there that we've got enough funds to cover as much snow removal as we need. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line of that streets fund is looking really good still, so we got a lot of room in there to make that work. Just wanted to bring it up to let you guys know.
Yeah.
And there's some openings on the budget committee. We're going to be gearing up to get our budget ready for 17-18 here pretty quick. Just wanted to throw that plug out there. There's some openings on the budget committee.
Might put a proposal in to increase the snow budget.
Yeah, obviously.
A little bit.
Yeah. So I think we budgeted 20 this year, 20,000 for it.
That was in the budget this year?
Yeah.
And you went through that?
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
But obviously, we had never hit that in the past of the city.
Oh, yeah,
how bad did you go over this year?
We're in the mid-20s right now.
Mid-20s.
Yeah.
The first month was the scary month.
Right.
Well, we got our first invoice, and it was almost the whole budget.
Well, all they did was plow for a week straight.
Can I ask a question? When you're doing this stuff at 5 and 6 and 7 o'clock at night to help everybody get through the city, I hope you're getting all paid for it.
Yeah, the guys get paid for it.
Yeah, it's minimum wage.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about that later.
I would also mention on your slide program that you eliminate that picture of your two workers on the quad. That's not a two-person quad.
No, that's not. It's illegal. When you got, you make it work when you can, right?
Well, buy them another quad.
I'm all for that. Take a little out of their wage every week.
Okay. You can have it.
I got a good one outside.
Any other budget questions?
Look at the budget. You might increase that snow budget to 30. If you don't use it, it's still there.
Exactly.
You know. Yep. Especially that gas, they said the first week or 2 weeks, you was gone. That's bad. That's not good at all.
This is the first time that we've ever had a snow that heavy that fast.
Yes.
Yeah. So it does snow around here. It does every year.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief.
What's nice about our contractor right now, we get charged $80 an hour.
Yeah.
Whether it's a plow truck, whether it's a grader, whether it's a front end loader, which is that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
You know, he's not making a ton of money off it. He's keeping his guys busy during the winters.
Yeah.
You know. I was a contractor too, or worked for a contractor, and $80 an hour running that kind of equipment, that's pretty fair.
A lot of that is cost of the equipment.
You know, you call someone out to do a private driveway with a little plow truck that might take half an hour, you might hit those kind of costs too just for that.
Yeah.
We had to hire a guy with a front end loader backhoe to come out and do Evergreen so people could get out. And his rate was higher than
that. Yep.
He was well worth it. Since out of the city wasn't running down there to do anything, so
we private road.
Either that or old people would get froze to death back there.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The community stepped up to take care of that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You're not making anybody feel guilty.
Snow removal is, you know, we fared pretty well as a city this year, I felt, compared to some of the other cities in Central Oregon. We fared pretty well.
Yeah.
Some of them are going bankrupt in other areas.
Yeah.
Well, Portland can't pay it for the one day of snow they had, so.
Right.
Have to increase taxes, that's.
Well, we have some experience in removing the snow down here, so we definitely know what we're doing.
Yes, you do.
And unfortunately, you get those kind of winter storms, and you try to make do what you can and help out as much as you can and make it work.
The community really worked well together.
Yeah.
To get everything done.
Absolutely.
Okay, budget update?
Got it. Update on SBC?
Doing SBC. SBC.
Okay.
Yep.
SBC. We've been looking at SBCs for a while now. And we had to kind of relook at SBCs because some of the numbers we were getting back were just a little too high to try to impose. You go from 7,300 to 14,000 or 15,000 SDC, that's a big deal. And me and Corey were never around for the groundwork, the beginning of that taking place. And some of the Central Oregon Builders Association, COBA, kind of came in and said, hey, you guys need to relook at this because it's really going to halt some developers in the area. And we agreed, absolutely. Let's revisit. Corey and I kind of went back to square one. Met with our master plan engineer, Anderson and Perry. Met with the SDC formula guys that are looking at our SDCs. Sat down all together, had a round table, and looked at a lot of different scenarios. Okay, how do these big projects affect? You know, we're going to get some grants for these projects, more than likely. And how is that going to affect some of these SDC rates? So we went back to square one, started over, recalculated, reworked it all, put a lot of legwork into it. Now we got some SDCs that are a lot more doable. We're great, you know, we're going from 7 to like 10,000. So that's, we kind of got to the middle there, which is a lot more ideal. And we're looking at a phase-in approach, possibly like a 3-year phase-in approach. COBA suggested 5 years, but that's, you know, no, I don't ever heard of anybody doing a 5-year phase-in. We figured 3 years is pretty fair. And that's where we're at with SDCs. We're going to see that come into play here in the next few months. There's a 90-day grace period that goes with that. People can make comments and stuff of that nature. Any questions on that?
No. Who handles SDCs now? I mean, what committee?
We handle them.
Okay. So you established a rate for new building here?
Yep. No, SDCs won't affect any of the current people. It just affects the new development coming in.
Right.
And those take care of our water and our sewer needs for the future and current needs. System development charges.
And that is for anybody who's coming in and putting in, they've got bought a 100 or an acre lot, they want to go ahead and put in water and sewer.
Correct. Yep. So when they hook up to our system, they pay the SDC fees.
And that's for commercial too? They'd come and talk to you?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay.
And if there is a person who has bought multiple lots, they also have to go through that.
And the way we calculate SDCs right now is based on EDUs, equivalent dwelling units. So I got to go through, like, on, let's say, St. Charles is coming in. I had to go through and count every sink in the building and calculate SDCs, EDUs, and give a number. The new rate structure is going to look at meter equivalency units.
Right.
And that's, from my experience, it's a lot easier and it captures things a lot better. So it'll be based on what size of meter they need for that development. And that's what we're going to base our SDCs off of.
And that includes not only the water, but also the sewer from that.
Correct. Yep. Ben went to that as well when I was there.
Because they were, at one time, they were counting the sinks, like for a
apparently that's what I gotta do. I gotta go through the site plan, I gotta look at every little thing that could contribute to that.
I thought that was changed.
It hasn't changed yet.
For for billing purposes, like when somebody gets their monthly utility bill, we moved from EDUs to MDUs.
But SPCs have
the billing rates are different. So
SPCs are
still running on the old program.
When are we going to change over, or are we?
When we adopt this.
It'll be up next week. You're hearing a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about next week.
Oh, that'll be at the council meeting?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It seems to me that like, if you're reading the amount of water going in, it matches the amount of water going out, so you only need one meter to meter it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need how many sinks are going on.
Right.
That's a waste of time.
I agree.
Yeah, we wonder all that with the billing, I know that.
Yeah,
right.
I thought the SDCs were the same.
This takes a lot. It takes a while to change, just like when you change rates. You got to do your homework and make sure you're making the right decisions.
Right.
I remember when we were organizing to get corporation on the ballot that was a huge issue with the SDC rates.
Right.
So are they still similar as they were back then, 10 years ago?
They're the same rates as they were back then.
Okay,
so SDCs are the same. They haven't changed.
Okay.
Ever since the districts had them, they haven't changed. What's nice about La Playa in Oregon is we have a water and a sewer SDC. Bend's got water, sewer, Parks and Rec, stormwater. Yeah. They got a gauntlet of SDCs that they impose. So even that, we go from 73 up to close to 10, we're still very favorable for development down here. And we're taking care of the system needs that we need for the future.
Do you have any time frame at all in the future when that second well is going to be put in? Will it be put in before all the sewer and water?
Yes.
Through the north end of town?
It'll be one of the first projects. It'll be the first part of those projects.
I look at the housing, I look at St. Charles, and the demand on water is going to be...
It's good. Yeah, it's going up.
Yeah.
Pretty. I gave you guys this document, too, that's going to start talking about wastewater improvements projects. So take a glance at that. We're still looking at
$24
million. Yep. This is going to be on the docket next week too. You know, you're going to see we were awarded community development grant. But we have not accepted community development block grant yet. And there's a time frame on the acceptance for that. Once we accept that, we've got to start developing and designing the system. We've got it okayed for wastewater. We're still chasing after some water funds for design, but we can contribute to that part as well. Once we lock in the grant, we're going to start designing, and then after that, 2 years till construction. Once that design is complete, you have 2 years to start construction. So once we make that commitment, we're starting to move. Tires are hitting the ground, we're moving forward with some of these projects, right?
Yeah.
And I showed you some of the statuses on where we're at with those funds. We're chasing a lot of grants right now. We're pretty optimistic that we're going to get quite a few. If you have any questions about those, I know it's confusing, and a lot of times you don't have as many applications out, but we felt it was in the best interest of the city to try to chase a lot of these different grants.
Oh, yeah.
Optimize
what
we can. And, you know, in the next 5 months, we're going to know a lot more where we're at with these. And on the last page, it kind of shows you what current rates for water and sewer are, and it breaks it down. And funding package number one you're going to see on the bottom is us getting all the grants that we're trying to chase. Funding package number two is we're not going to get those grants we're chasing. We're going to have to finance a lot of that of our own. So you're going to see existing combined water and wastewater right now, $72.84 for residential. That's your average. In 2018, you see at the bottom, rates are going to go up to 82.41. That's going to happen with our adopted rates we adopted last year. They progress every year.
Okay.
Funding package number one is we get most of those grants. We're going to look at 87.24 for combined water and sewer rate. Now, if we don't get those grants and we got to finance out of our own pocket,
yeah,
we're looking at 93.14. So this is looking pretty good for the city. For $24 million worth of improvements to the system, I think this might work.
You can apply the bank for the buck.
Yes.
For our buck.
Yeah, the interest rates are pretty favorable right now. There's a lot of grants. And
we going to get that fast because interest rates very possibly are going to raise this year.
Right. And once they award us that, they'll lock in those interest rates. But once they award it to us and lock it in, we're committed.
We've got to get moving on.
Yeah. Any questions about that? You guys are seeing this for the first time. Council hasn't even seen this yet. So we'll talk about it next week. Don't be
neener neener.
Yeah, don't do neener neener.
Have you come up with a new construction cost of putting ahead, you know, good existing homes are built in, you know, you add it to the...
Right, that's all factored in.
Yeah, but as far as new construction, do you have a hookup cost for residential?
Yes. No, for this project, there's no hookup cost. If you got an existing structure or existing place, you're not going to pay any hookup fees for this project. But if the system's put in and you come in after the fact and develop that property, you're going to pay a hookup fee. SDCs.
Do we have a number for that?
It's going to be this new SDC rate.
Okay. That's after the system is in?
Yep.
Can you still buy a lot and put a house on it before the system comes in?
Yeah. You can do that.
Yes, but in order to do that, you have to put in your own septic system.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if this project starts spinning and stuff's happening and you want to start building a house there, DEQ is going to recognize that, hey, you don't need to put the highfalutin septic system in with the drain, the sand filter drain field in the filter. Yeah. They're going to say, put the tank in, put a standard system drain field in, and when they come by with the pipe, you're going to have to hook up to it.
They haven't heard that yet.
The last
I'm not excited about now because we haven't locked in any of the funds yet.
Yeah, you're right.
The last estimate we got on that was $12,000 to put in a regular septic system.
Right.
So if you want to put your house in to save yourself from SDCs,
that's
probably not a good economical investment.
It's now between 12 and
15. Well, build a house, put the house in the tank and leave it like that. Don't know each field. Nobody lives in it. Just wait until the city comes along.
There's a lot of ideas out there. But if our SDCs for residential is $10,000, a well and a septic system is going to run you $25,000 to $30,000 probably.
No, it's 20.
20 for septic. Yeah.
Depending how deep you have to go for a well, too.
This depends. Yeah. There's a lot of factors, right?
So if we're selling bare lots in the Cagle subdivision, they need to come and talk to you about what they need to put in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a lot of calls,
For the building commission. Right now, that's down below to the county.
Yeah, but he has answers. They don't always know. Unless we talk to Todd. Is Todd still there?
Cleveland, was it Teresa up there? Who's in
Tracy.
Tracy.
They know, but we haven't committed to this project yet, so it's all speculation. We can't make any promises till we know it's going to happen.
Okay. Right.
And DEQs can't say, you can put that in, with the exception of Lapine doing this. They don't know yet either, so once we start moving forward, then some of those agreements can be made.
You got to wait till you get the money in before you do anything.
Right.
But right now, if somebody wants to build this year,
they're going to go
in and go through the building.
Yeah.
Deschutes County.
Yep. Tracy does a good job.
Any other things? No. Other issues? Concerns? Anybody?
I have some.
What?
I have three. On your snow removal, what about all the abandoned vehicles that you've had to go around? Do you want us to supply a list if we know of abandoned
vehicles? Yeah, you bet. Let me know.
Been there for 3 or 4 years?
Yep.
Okay.
If it's impeding any of that, let me know. We went around and really get public awareness of that before a snowstorm would come. We'd go knock the door and say, here's the standard for Lapine that we passed. It says we have the right to tow your vehicle. We don't want to tow your vehicle, so let's work together to get this solved. And we didn't have to tow any vehicles this winter.
It was 100 times better this year than years past for cars in the ditches and stuff. It was way better.
Yeah, but once the people know,
Yeah.
You know, I want to say no.
Especially if they're going to lose the car.
Right, because a lot of times we did that a couple times right before it started getting bad, started handing out notices, and then we'd come down the street with our lights on and get ready to plow, and see people like, oh, there's Lapine, I better get out and move my rig. So a lot of times if we knew that my contractor's going to be plowing that street, we'd send the guys to go drive down the streets like they're pretending like they're getting ready to tow, right? Perception's big.
Should we just bring the address down and give it to someone here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Too bad they can't implement that really well in Bend. That's not your concern, but
right.
I was up.
Oh, Bend.
It's another animal up there.
Bend was horrid.
They're just big lumps of ice still sitting there. I was up there yesterday on Portland and going in and seeing all the mirrors that have been removed. Out of those rigs that are parked.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
I love that. I know they were worn.
No, on this real quick, do you have any corrections for it before? Because we're going to talk about this with council next week, and this is kind of the rough draft version. If there's anything you want to change, please let me know and we can get that in there for next week.
You had some more questions?
Yes. I missed the last tour of the sewer treatment tour.
Of everything.
Yes, I missed all the good part. And I think I could get Jane to go with me, and there may be another couple people that need to go. Will you go with us too?
Let's do a tour this spring. Let's let some of the smell get off. Let us catch up on some of our staff.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You can see more than you want to right now, but can you still walk across the pond?
Some of them you can. Some of them I would have suggested.
How about abandoned houses and property? Who do I give an address to?
You can give it to us. We'll probably work with the county on
something. Point to her.
Good answer. She does everything. I've got a direct line.
That's right.
Okay. I'm done.
Anybody else?
I like it.
Huh? Public comments?
These guys are doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, they are.
I'm trying to come into the system the way it was, and for the accomplishments that they have made in such a short time, they need some accolades of some kind. That's a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
Yeah, guys. Staff, general comments? Anybody? You already spoke.
I've spoken enough.
Haven't heard his head.
You might mention how we stand on code enforcement and things like that now.
Yeah.
I know that there is more work being done now
right.
coordinating with the Sheriff's Department and all.
Right. Yeah, we had to sit down with the Sheriff's Department a month ago probably. For some code enforcements that make your guys' life easier, Deschutes County Sheriff's Department. A lot of stuff we can impose really makes it hard on some of the, not the trouble people in town, but if you're living in an RV on someone's property, there's probably, the reasons, but it happens to everybody, right? And I've lived in an RV for a while too, but you really start making stricter rules on some of that, it really helps them keep some of the stuff out of the town, right?
Now, who do you bring those concerns to? Right there.
Sheriff?
Yep.
Come back to you.
If someone's living in an RV in town, that's our department.
Okay. Yep. The sheriff's probably not going to do anything with it.
No.
But it hasn't come through here, but it's coordinated with the sheriff's department.
Right. And just kind of puts the heat on some of that. And some of the people don't like having the heat all the time, so what they'll do is they'll move out. If they have to keeping the property clean and in regular order, that stuff puts heat on them too. The Deschutes County Sheriff's Department likes that a lot.
I did get a half compliment, and then he took it back. There's a gentleman that just moved to his house on Railroad, and he said that all of you have done a really good job for some of it, but there's a whole lot more weeding out on Railroad.
Yeah, Railroad's
really bad.
Yeah.
Railroad has always been bad, and it's in process.
Good.
Right
now. Yeah.
There's a lot of awareness, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We try to when we're not super busy with snow and stuff. I have on the schedule code enforcement, take two pictures this week for Thursday afternoon. Everyone find two to take pictures of. So you'll start seeing some more of that coming into play too.
Yeah.
get a nice picture, a date, that's date stamped, and we start the process.
Wonderful.
As far as
we have to go to legal, you know, legal means, and we'll go down that road too. But a lot of them will, you know, 7 out of 10 usually takes care of the problem.
Railroad's a little bit.
Unless we're on a railroad.
Turn right after.
Yeah, so if I cross from Gordy's that way to go to Longhand. Yeah, that one house over here looks like an RV storage lot.
There's an abandoned place.
Well, there are a couple abandoned. There are a couple that have been, actually, there's one that's been foreclosed on now by the county, so that's going to be cleaned up. There are some other ones with RVs that are stacked one on top of another.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I play about.
And that's the one that the possibilities of them having a septic system in there to handle it is just about zero.
Is that the same one that Rick kept talking to?
Well, Rick, yeah.
It's the same one.
There were a number of them.
Yeah. I remember Rick talking about ones along the railroad there that just was really bad.
Well, that's why he put up street lights down there without anybody knowing it. I drive out one time and said, what the hell are street lights doing on railroad? And I came back and found out, oh, sort of a security thing. We're trying to put some light on the druggies.
Yeah. You can't do anything in the dark anymore.
Well, that's it. I mean, they've got to count their money.
Yeah, it's out on the street light.
It's been a problem for
me. I know we've got some veterans that are out in trailers, you know, stuck back in the woods. I don't think I know whose property it is or if it's state, federal. I'm not looking to route those people out necessarily, but I'm for those that are just a matter of convenience and something that, you know, and I don't know what all the intentions are. This summer is going to be a dry one, I think, and we cannot afford fire hazards like that with some of the Genesis.
We incorporate the band and brothers, and could they go out and do it in a fenceable space?
We could go out with armed guards and find out who's living there.
Right.
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at, remember, is the city of La Pine, you're not the Pine area.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we do not go out into the Forest Service and try to clean them.
Yeah.
Because that's over and above what we ever have.
Private citizens could.
Not
associated with the city.
If you
Sheriff's Department talked about those
take
places
your tags off and go out.
Kind of off the grid, you know.
Yeah.
These things keep popping up more and more, you know.
Well, and there's some that are that 40 acres behind Midstate that goes back down to Huntington Meadows, there's people living back in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that'd be the city of La Pine.
Right.
I mean, if that's where they have to live, but I'm just thinking if I don't want to just push them back further, if we could do a defensible space or something.
I think the main thing that we have to remember is we only have 7 square miles of the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to concentrate on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We cannot have...
No, but this is in the city.
I know it's in the city, but there's no reason for them to be in the city.
Oh, okay.
When we had the meeting with the Deschutes County Sheriff, they recommended we put an ordinance for panhandling,
mm-hmm.
crack down on that, because that'll kind of nip it in the bud before
that. That helps some of it.
That'd be a good idea to put that in.
Panhandling.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we all feel sorry for some people that are down on their luck, but at the same time, we have a city we're trying to build here.
Protect.
Yeah.
And, you know, BLM has their problems, the Forest Service has theirs. There's a lot of land around here.
There's a lot of other avenues that they can pursue, too. They always take the least path of resistance, and when we start pushing on some of that stuff, there's programs out there that will help them. Mm-hmm. Too.
And a lot of these people don't want to be helped. They don't.
Right.
They'd rather live like they did.
Yeah.
They want to be left alone.
Which is
fine,
but let's do it under our terms, not under theirs.
Yeah.
That's one thing that all the veteran organizations of Band of Brothers and VFW and BBA and American trying to put together a directory of all the services that are available.
Sure.
And not just necessary for veterans, but anybody that comes in, if you have a problem, talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's underway now. That's something that we're trying to put together.
They may want to look into the senior center. They already have something like that for all seniors. But it also includes a lot of the other organizations out there, like for mental health, for disability, and for all sorts of other things, for housing.
That's good.
And it's a regular pamphlet that come out every year from COCO.
Hadn't thought about senior center. That's a good idea.
But yeah.
None of us are seniors that belong to those. So,
well, I know. We're all
just
in the 39 bracket. But,
yeah.
You know. Wonder for those older people that need some things.
That's your Jeff Benny, huh?
Yeah. I was thinking that.
You guys wouldn't know what Jeff Benny is. Too young.
You just named yourself and your age.
Yeah, just like when we had that little joint meeting with the Deschutes County Sheriff's, what kind of stuff. I mean, these guys sat down too. It wasn't just me and them, you know.
Really?
I forget things, and these guys can throw out ideas that I would never think of, and I like to keep that neat.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good.
Deschutes County Sheriff's will be very happy to help us in any of those undertakings.
I like
to use them, the better off they are.
I like it when, you know, in here, you can't remember it. If you guys have something, you know, raise your hand like you did and just...
Yeah.
I'll recognize you and come up with your idea, whatever you got to say.
Panhandling and things
right.
Like that.
Yeah. I mean, I like that idea, that ordinance for panhandling. That's got to go before the city council and get that going.
Okay. We look at it as a public safety.
Oh, yeah.
If they're on the street, they're vulnerable to getting hit, and we know how busy town is getting now.
Yes.
Try pulling out on the highway during the summer.
It's also amazing how much those guys pick up when they're doing their routes out here. They can almost tell you where the problem children are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there are a lot of things there in violation of codes, fine. Then maybe that's the best way to get cleaned up. So.
Okay, any more comments?
I just wanted to say that your first presentation, when you were talking about all the challenges you had in 2016, it's just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things, and people don't know. They say, oh, I pay taxes in the city, and what do I get for it? Well, there's one thing. I mean, I just think you did a phenomenal job of attacking and solving not just 5 or 6, but all of these myriad of problems. So,
I was at the city council meeting last Wednesday, and it's when he brought it up. What the hell happened here?
Yeah.
You know, and
it was a sobering atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he asked me if he should bring it here. I said, oh, hell yeah. The committee needs to see this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other thing is, as I told you before, after that, was make sure you are using this committee to your best advantage.
Yeah.
But, and I was hesitant to bring up some of that stuff because, you know, the last supervisor hired me when I first started here back in the day, and I considered him a friend, and I don't want to portray that I'm throwing anybody under the bus, but sometimes, you know, friends make mistakes too, right? And sometimes you learn from them, and to be honest, some of those things weren't fun to deal with, but we learned a lot. I can tell you what, we know how to work on those pumps now, because we had to, right?
Learning is ground the job training,
yeah. So you learn and you move forward, you don't try to dwell in the past. That's why I didn't want to try to
dwell in the
past.
You just, you know, state facts.
Right.
I deal with facts, not emotions. Just give me the facts.
I know, Jim's my friend, so, you know, I know how you feel.
I don't
try not to drag him through. If there's anything we can do, even as private citizens or this committee.
Yeah, I don't need enemies. I got you.
Don't hesitate at all.
No.
You guys are working just a fantastic combination.
Yeah, you are.
We'd be really helped.
But yeah.
It'd be nice if we joined with you.
Thank you. I think we should do that tour this spring.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I want to go on that. I posted here for the other one.
And also, I think there's a whole lot of realtors in here that need to share in some of this too. So, and I know you're really, really busy, but you know, maybe you could come down and talk to our MLS group or just our office, and we can spread the word, because they're out there buying, selling, all this
stuff. It's confusing. Like, let's, for example, a real estate agent called me about a septic system. like, they're buying a lot in Cagle, and they wanted some of those questions, or they're buying a lot in town, and it's like, do you have a septic tank? Why do you have a septic tank? Is it a city sewer?
Yeah,
I got to explain to them, if I can go to some of these offices and kind of deflect some of those questions right there. I don't mind talking to people on the phone, but a real estate agent would probably like to know some of that stuff, too.
Yeah, my mom's always asked me questions about stuff in the city limits.
For all of us.
Yeah.
Well, once the residents, they're so used to the big city systems.
Right.
You know, I mean, we don't have it here. We're a small city. So once it's explained to them, you know, that's all you need. You just give them the information. And it's up to them to ask for it, but. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
To adjourn?
To adjourn.
Yeah.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Done. We're finished.